Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
Your eyes have it. And you have Dr. Robert Abel Jr., the Wizard of Oz.
Welcome back. Glad to have you. We always have some interesting people, interesting conversations. There's subjects you may or may not know about, one of which is intraocular inflammation, also known as uveitis or iritis. And we have an expert who is returning to us again, Dr. Ravi Patel, who's going to share some insights into this diagnosis and management and how to make it more palatable to people and help them over it. Thank you, Ravi, for being with us again.
My pleasure.
So what is uveitis or inflammation in the eye?
You know, that's a very challenging question. Any type of inflammation inside of the eye, I kind of tell patients it's like having arthritis of the eye. The eye isn't commonly seen of in those terms as a joint, but the analogy sort of fits. It's any inflammation, and similar reasons that patients get arthritis in their hands or in their knees can affect the eyes as well. And it ranges from things like an infection to inflammation to just sometimes wear and tear, for lack of a better term.
And so in this panoply of situations, what are the more common causes that if someone comes in with either a red eye or not a red eye and you see the inflammatory signs, what are some of the common causes you think of?
Yeah, the first time somebody comes in with uveitis or inflammation inside the eye, we do a thorough examination to see what part of the eye or the uvea is involved. And for most patients, this is a one-time, what's called idiopathic, or we don't really know why they get the inflammation, but it tends to be a more self-limited type of a process. They get treated with topical anti-inflammatory drops over a tapering course over a few weeks, and most patients will improve. And truthfully, for those patients, it doesn't typically come back, at least in the short term.
Keep going.
So, you know, there are other causes of uveitis which do tend to come back, and these are the ones that we think a little bit harder about when a patient's sitting in front of us. So, for example, if somebody comes with inflammation in both eyes, you know, that's a little bit more alarming. Then you're really going to search for a cause of why they have inflammation in both eyes. If someone's coming in with recurrent uveitis, it just comes and goes. Or if they have some other forms of inflammation in the body, like rheumatoid arthritis or lupus or other unexplained sort of inflammatory systemic problems, like a new rash that they don't really know about, or they tell us, "Yay, I was bitten by a tick 2 weeks ago." You know, something that's going to sort of raise those antennas to look for something more insidious.
Well, it's usually you, the physician, that's going to have to bring out this information. Like, were you recently in a fight, which would give you an idea about trauma, and also about other systemic things, as you just indicated. So when that person walks in, let's say it has one eye inflammation, what are the other associated things they may tell you about their experience or what you may observe from your observation with a slit lamp?
So for one-eyed inflammation, if we're looking for a cause that's other than something like idiopathic, sort of a genetic reason behind it is by and far the most common. It's called HLA-B27-associated uveitis. This is a genetic condition that a large proportion of the U.S. population has. And it's associated with things like arthritis of the spine, psoriatic arthritis. And so I tend to tease out those sorts of questions, like do they have stiffness in their neck in the morning or low back stiffness? It's different than classical pain of sort of like age-related degenerative condition because they have a lot more stiffness than pain, especially earlier on. Psoriatic arthritis patients often have psoriasis or plaques of skin problems across their body. So it tends to be a little bit easier to elucidate from the patient. But when we look at their eye, there are certain features that tell us, hey, you know what, dig a little bit deeper. And that's the type of inflammation that they have. So if we look inside of the eye and we see small, tiny cells of inflammation, because we can actually see the inflammatory cells floating around inside of the eye. It tends to be less of an insidious problem than something where we look and say there are clumps of inflammatory cells inside of the eye. This is going to point towards a much more systemic problem, including viral infections that can do that, like the herpes viral infection or even shingles.
So there's a combination of things, like whether there's redness of the conjunctiva, how deep the redness is, whether there's puffiness of the eyelids, whether there's a history it started on the eyelids, or whether it's preseptal cellulitis and it's not even primary, but the inflammation in the eye is because the external inflammation got so severe. And all of that you can delineate, and hopefully we continue to ask the patient more information as we start figuring out more clues.
That's absolutely true. I see a lot of patients as like second and third opinion patients for red eyes, and often these patients have been misdiagnosed as conjunctivitis or pink eye, and it's not until you do a thorough exam and actually talk to the patient for more of those classic signs, which are light sensitivity, including light sensitivity in the other eye. So it's not just that the eye that's red is causing the patient to have some discomfort, but if you shine a bright light in their otherwise seemingly unaffected eye, they also have discomfort in the eye, or blurred vision and floaters. You know, these are less common in patients that just have simple pink eye.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. So if you had a patient who was calling you on the phone, And they said they're on their way in, but you might ask them, is your pupil large or small? How does that differentiate perhaps the type of red eye condition they have?
So patients that have inflammation inside of the eye tend to have a smaller than average pupil. So when they look in the eye that's red and inflamed, if it's caused by inflammation, it'll tend to be a little bit smaller than the fellow pupil. This isn't always the case, but it's more often the case than not. And so it's a quick sort of, you know, let's check in the mirror kind of a diagnosis for patients. Whereas other things that just cause run-of-the-mill pink eye, like a viral infection of the eye, like the common cold, the pupil tends to be completely uninvolved and unaffected.
Or if they have acute glaucoma, they might have a large pupil, which gives a little different constellation of signs and symptoms.
Exactly.
But those are the things we're always faced with. So here you are with a person with unilateral, long-term, resistant inflammation in the eye. What would you treat them with?
So if they have long-term inflammation and it's not responsive to topical steroids or anti-inflammatory eye drops, and if you've been able to find the cause for this, most certainly you treat the underlying cause, whether it's rheumatoid arthritis or lupus. Managing those diseases will help the overall eye condition. If you can't find a systemic cause, we do use some of the same medications that are used to treat rheumatoid arthritis to treat patients with unexplained inflammation in the eye. It tends to be very, very successful, and as newer and newer medications are on the market, we're finding that there's more options for more patients. Sometimes we work in concert with a rheumatologist or a systemic inflammatory specialist to help tailor the individual therapies, because some of these medications can have some unwanted side effects. But that is often the best way to treat these patients.
Well, I know that you have probably the broadest armamentarium of any anterior segment surgeon I know, and that you even are able to put something into the vitreous body that allows them long-term therapy. But we'll have to get to that at another time. And I deeply appreciate your returning and returning again, because you add so much to the show. I'm Dr. Rob Abel, the Wizard of Eyes, on RadioMD.com. For more information on this segment or any of my segments, visit my show page on RadioMD.com. Thanks for listening. Stay well. See well.